And so, talking to herself, the spider worked at her difficult task. When it was completed, she felt hungry. She ate a small bug that she had been saving. Then she slept. Next morning, Wilbur arose and stood beneath the web. He breathed the morning air into his lungs. Drops of dew, catching the sun, made the web stand out clearly. When Larvae arrived with breakfast, there the handsome pig, and over him, woven neatly into the block letters, was the word terrific. Another miracle. Larvae rushed and called Mr. Zuckerman. Mr. Zuckerman rushed and called Mrs. Zuckerman. Mrs. Zuckerman ran to the phone and called the Arables. The Arables climbed into their truck and hurried over. Everybody stood at the pig pen and stared at the web and read the word over and over, while Wilbur, who really felt terrific, stood quietly swelling out his chest and swinging his snout from side to side. Terrific, breathed Zuckerman in joyful admiration. Edith, you better phone the reporter on the Weekly Chronicle and tell him what has happened. He will want to know about this. He may want to bring a photographer. There isn't a pig in the whole state that is as terrific as our pig. The news spread. People who journeyed to see Wilbur when he was some pig came back again to see him now that he was terrific. That afternoon, when Mr. Zuckerman went to milk the cows and clean out the tie-ups, he was still thinking about what a wondrous pig he owned. Larvae, he called. There is to be no more cow manure thrown into that pig pen. I have a terrific pig. I want that pig to be clean, bright straw every day for his bedding. Understand? Yes, sir, said Larvae. Furthermore, said Mr. Zuckerman, I want to start building a crate for Wilbur. I have decided to take the pig to the county fair on September 6th. Make the crate large and paint it green with gold letters. What will the letters say? Asked Larvae. They should say Zuckerman's famous pig. Larvae picked up a pitchfork and walked away to get some clean straw. Having such an important pig was going to mean plenty of extra work. He could see that. Below the apple orchard, at the end of the path, was the dump where Mr. Zuckerman threw all sorts of trash and stuff that nobody wanted anymore. Here, in a small clearing hidden by younger alders and wild raspberry bushes, was the astonishing pile of old bottles and empty tin cans and dirty rags and bits of metal and broken bottles and broken hinges and broken springs and dead batteries and last month's magazines and old discard dish mops and tattered overalls and rusty spikes and leaky pails and forgotten stoppers and useless junk of all kinds, including a wrong-sized crank for a broken ice cream freezer. Templeton knew the dump and liked it. There were good hiding places there. Excellent cover for a rat. And there was usually a tin can with food still clinging to the inside. Templeton was down there now, rummaging around. When he returned to the barn, he carried in his mouth an advertisement he had torn from a crumpled magazine. How's this? He asked, showing the ad to Charlotte. It says crunchy. Crunchy would be a good word to write in your web. Just the wrong idea, replied Charlotte. Couldn't be worse. We don't want Zuckerman to think Wilbur is crunchy. He might start thinking about crisp, crunchy bacon and tasty ham. That would put ideas into his head. We must advertise Wilbur's noble qualities, not his tastiness. Get another word, please, Templeton. The rat looked disgusted, but he sneaked away to the dump and was back in a while with a strip of cotton cloth. How's this? He asked. It's a label off an old shirt. Charlotte examined the label. It said pre-shrunk. I'm sorry, Templeton, he said, but pre-shrunk is out of the question. We want Zuckerman to think Wilbur is filled out, not all shrunk up. I'll have to ask you to try again. What do you think I am, a messenger boy? Grumbled the rat. I'm not going to spend all my time chasing to the dump after advertising material. Just once more, please, said Charlotte. I'll tell you what I'll do, said Templeton. I know where there's a package of soap flakes in the woodshed. It has writing on it. I'll bring you a piece of the package. He climbed the rope that hung to the wall and disappeared through the hole in the ceiling. When he came back, he had a strip of blue and white cardboard in his teeth. There, he said triumphantly. How's that? Charlotte read the words, with new radiant action. What does it mean? Asked Charlotte, who had never used any soap flakes in her life. How should I know? Said Templeton. You asked me for words, and I brought them. I suppose the next thing you'll want me to fetch is a dictionary.